Well, Sarah mentioned sometimes at this time of the year, it can be difficult for people to journey through this season of celebration. And I know that there are many here who have lost loved ones this year. And our family has also been affected by this. And I will tell you that I have Dave's permission to share some of this today. Because it was my mother-in-law, Dave's mum, who passed away in July. Many of you would know that. And there she is on the screen, so I will avoid looking at her. Because she was a real gem and someone who I loved greatly and who had a significant impact on my life. I've been part of the Collinson family for more than 30 years. No, it's hard to believe I'm that old, isn't it? And while Glenys was quite a straight shooter, as we would say, she used to tell you direct what she thought, I did always appreciate her wisdom, and she was definitely a woman of God. Obviously, since her passing, we continue to talk about her and reflect on who she was. In fact, Dave just got a message from his dad this morning because this week would have been their 61st wedding anniversary. And we remember her fondly. We joke about some of the things that she used to do, things like photos. We have this photo up in our house, some of her recipes. When I drink cups of tea at certain times of the day, it triggers memories of her, which is actually really quite lovely. But one thing that we have said, Dave and I have said numerous times in the last 5 months, has been, if Glenys were here. Things, and I'm sure you can appreciate this, if Glenys were here, she would know the answer. It would be good to be able to pick up the phone sometimes and talk to her. If Glenys were here, we could ask her. She'd know what to do. Or if Glenys were here, we wouldn't be doing this because we wouldn't be getting away with this. If Glenys were here. And, you know, Dave and I, and even Dave's dad, Wes, have joked about this phrase numerous times because there's no way we'd be getting away with some of the things that we're doing if Glenys were still here. Now, I'm not saying that we're misbehaving, although, Dave, you can talk to Dave about this later, or that we're suddenly running rogue around the town, but there are some subtle changes in the way certain people are living. And I did say, if he was watching online this morning in the 9:30, how much I loved him, and it's true. Wes, my father-in-law, I have a great amount of respect and admiration for him as well. But, you know, Wes is now doing more exercise than any other 84-year-old I have ever met or ever known. And he tells us whenever we speak to him, oh, yes, I've been out for my walk. Or he'll say, oh, I did a little bit of running today. Or I've been swimming was his thing until the doctor suggested maybe not so much time in the pool because it was affecting his ears. Glenys didn't always appreciate Wes's excessive exercise routines. Or Dave will sometimes say, I'm just buying this off Amazon and having it delivered to Dad. There's no way that Wes would be getting away with that if Glenys were here. But, you know, her presence and her now non-presence, really, have helped shape and change us and our behaviour, usually for the better. So quite randomly, as things do, and I can almost relate anything back to Jesus, I was thinking about this in relation to the Christmas story, and particularly one of those verses that Chris just read to us from Matthew 1, verse 23, that says, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Emmanuel, the name of Jesus, God with us. God's presence here with us, right now. But how does his presence help shape us? Does it transform us and change our behaviour for the better? Well, at Christmas time, we celebrate the coming of Jesus, as we know, Advent. And Advent, the season that we're currently in, and we've heard earlier that we are in week 3 of Advent. And Advent can mean the beginning of an event, can actually mean the invention of something, or the arrival of a person. the beginning of the Christmas season, the arrival of Jesus. Something anticipated, something exciting, something that would change the lives of millions of people over hundreds of years. But it also changed the lives of the people and the characters who make up the Nativity story. The shepherds, the wise men, Mary and Joseph, never the same again after the birth of Jesus. But do you ever wonder what happened to the shepherds and the wise men after they encountered the Christ child? We know because it tells us in the Bible that they worshipped Jesus when they found him. But what were they doing a week later? Maybe it's only me that considers such things. I don't know. And I don't have an answer. So if anyone can find out what the wise men did after they visited Jesus and delivered the gifts, I'd really appreciate that. But we heard earlier about Joseph. And really, he was a remarkable man. He was a good man. And in Matthew 1, verse 19, it says that Joseph, to whom she, that is Mary, was engaged, was a righteous man. And while, yes, he was an honourable man, I'm sure that this is not what he had planned for his life or for his relationship with Mary. For her to be pregnant before they were married, for all the gossip that was going on around town, and I'm sure that that was happening, for the questions that he would have been asked by his family and his friends, as well as strangers, I'm fairly certain that none of this would have been his choice. But his obedience, his righteousness, and his faithfulness to both God and to Mary helped to transform the world, and as such, helps to transform us. But Joseph was not perfect. After all, he was a human, and perhaps he had what we might call now a little bit of a freak out, because there were lives at stake. His life, Mary's life. He had so many questions, and so he had in his mind to divorce Mary quietly. And I think that this speaks so much to who he was. There was going to be no public drama-filled event. He was just going to go and quietly call off the engagement. But we know, again, because we heard just a few moments ago, or we've heard for many years, that the angel came to Joseph in a dream and he said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Well, I have to say, and you're probably, you know, getting a picture of what goes on inside my head some days and weeks, I think if those words were said to me, that I would possibly be more afraid and I would have more questions. How can this be? Because this wasn't something that happened every day. And I very much doubt that any of Joseph's friends were pregnant by the Holy Spirit. But Joseph was righteous. He did what was right, and he was obedient to his God. So when he woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home to be his wife, or as his wife. And then, when the baby was born, Joseph again acted in obedience and gave him the name Jesus. You know, we don't hear much about Joseph after the Christmas story. He's mentioned again in Luke's Gospel in chapter 2 when Mary and Joseph go to the temple to find the boy Jesus teaching there. But nothing else is recorded of him and his life. And many theologians would say that they believe that Joseph quite possibly passed away when Jesus was in his adolescent or teenage years. But nonetheless, even though he only features for a small amount of time in the scripture, he is obviously an integral part to the story. And there are lessons for us, great lessons, to learn from him, even though he was afraid. Because through his fears, God's will and God's plan was still at work. And we have this wonderful example of how faith in God includes believing that even through our fears, our frailties, our weaknesses, that God can still do powerful and wonderful things. At times, we want to be in complete control. We want to know the whole plan, the whole journey, everything. But God doesn't give that to us. But he always knows and sees the bigger picture. You know, these words of God through the angel to Joseph could easily be for us, for you and me today. Do not be afraid. Fear, stress, hurt, pain, anxiety, confusion, these are all normal emotions and experiences. And God doesn't erase them from our lives, does he? We all know that. Life isn't always easy, but what we can do is hand them over to him and trust in him. God is calling us really to abandon ourselves and our fear to him. Perhaps to change our behaviour, because God is with us. Emmanuel, God is here. Joseph may have feared for his family's safety and their well-being, but even amongst all of that, he was still obedient, he was still faithful, and he still trusted in his God. From time to time, I read some of the writings of Pope Francis, and that's not because I'm planning on switching to Catholicism, but because he often gives a different perspective on things. And while I don't obviously agree with everything he says and teaches, some of it is not wrong, it's just different. And I was interested to read that Pope Francis calls Joseph creatively courageous. And he went on and he said, in the face of difficulty, we can either give up and walk away or somehow engage with it. Joseph engaged. He was courageous because he engaged with what God was asking him to do. Our theme for Christmas this year is heaven meets earth. And you know, heaven actually met earth in the birth of Jesus because Joseph was courageous. Heaven met earth because Joseph did not walk away. He engaged with what God was wanting him to do. And heaven met earth when Jesus was born. And we know that he is Emmanuel, God with us. And more than that, the coming of Jesus shaped the life and the behaviour of Joseph. And the coming of Jesus shaped the faith of Joseph. So my question then is, how is the coming of Jesus shaping the faith, the life, and the behaviour of you? If Jesus were here, he'd know the answer. If Jesus were here, we could ask him. He'd know what to do. If Jesus were here, I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't be behaving in this way. If Jesus were here, well, Jesus is here. So what impact is his presence having on you and the way you are living? Emmanuel truly does embody the meaning of Christmas. The birth of Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, the Messiah, the Saviour of all people, the whole world, has made a way for God to be here with us. And this is worthy of all the celebration of Christmas. I say it every year. I say it every second day. I love Christmas. I love the carols that we sing. And I don't just sing them because it's what we have to sing. In fact, I'm one of those crazy people that listens to Christmas music at other times of the year. Just ask my family. God is worthy. Jesus is worthy of the praise and the worship that we bring him during the singing of our carols. We read the same Christmas story year in, year out, time after time through the Advent season, not because we have to, but because we want to be reminded that God is here with us. He is here. He sent his son, Jesus, so that his presence would be with us. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, the celebration of Advent is possible only to those who are troubled in soul, who know themselves to be poor and imperfect, and who look forward to something greater to come. So what is the greater for you? What has God in store for you? I believe that there is still more for all of us. If we're still on earth and we're still breathing, then God still has plans for us. On Thursday, it's a long story, but I went to Adelaide for the day, flew out in the morning, flew back at night to see our son. And while I was there, I dropped in to see a lady who is from Ingle Farm Corps, who's now 91 years of age. And she has asked me to do her funeral. And I said to Dave, I would like to see her before she passes away. She's just been diagnosed with another illness. And she said to me, you know, I can't do a lot, love. That's what she calls me. Beautiful Scottish lady, an absolute gem, one who prays so much for so many people. And she has this heart for everybody to know Jesus. And in fact, she said to me, when you speak at my funeral, it is to be a salvation message so the people there can come to know him. But she said to me, I can't do a lot now, love, but what I can do is continue to pray. She is still on earth. While we are still on earth, still breathing, then God still has plans for us. And are you willing to be obedient, creatively courageous, faithful and righteous like Joseph was? How is the coming of Jesus shaping your faith, your life, and your behaviour? Because he is here. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us. Our Lord Emmanuel.